Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Getting closer to your weekend, and we got plenty to get into again here on the Sports Hangover, as we are now just 2 weeks away from the Saints holding their first training camp practice. Hard to believe that we're that close from that, and less now than a week before rookies get to report for camp. So we'll get into that as the next set of four games. Last week, what we've been doing, and we started last week, was breaking down the season in quarters, just the way head coach Sean Payton likes to do, and kind of looking at quarters in a season. We looked at the first four games last week. Going to look at the next four games today and tomorrow, as today Jordan, the intern, will take a look at the Rams and the Redskins. Ravens and Vikings will be our focus tomorrow, as the next four games on the slate: Skins, Ravens, Vikings, Rams, with the bye week in between the Washington and Baltimore game. So we'll kind of talk a little bit about that and focus on it. And yes, it is that week. Apparently, it seems to be the week of lists. Lists here, lists there, lists everywhere. Rank this offense, rank that offense, rank this quarterback, rank all of that. There's a couple out there that, I don't know, I'm a little uncomfortable the Falcons are ahead of the Saints in a couple of these lists. Even though it's lists that people just come up, I'm a little uncomfortable at it. Jordan, the intern, will give us some of the latest lists that are out there as well. You can chime in as always. The phone number to get involved in the show, 800-998-1003. You can always tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. And Jordan, the intern, hopefully you are hungry today.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Because we are in Metairie on location at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street in Metairie. You probably know where this is already. A block off of Causeway. You can't miss it. 17th Street, right across, obviously, from where Lakeside is. And you'll smell the burgers as you get close on by, because it literally is that delicious. And look, see what happens. You get a delicious burger, and the Graf decides to chime in here as well, wearing his Torrey Pines shirt. We'll bring in the Graf here momentarily as we will chat a little bit about football, college football here, as well as it's right around the corner. But super excited to be here at the Harbor Bar and Grill. I call it the Gargantuan. I don't know if you saw the picture of the burger that we threw out there on social media yesterday, Jordan. It was really, really good. Just the size of it. It has all kinds of different things on it. We'll ask Jason here in a second exactly what's on that.
We got to ask him about the bacon.
Yes. Well, I will too as well. I want his opinion and you know, of what it's like to actually have a burger without bacon.
It's amazing.
No, it's, I call it un-American, but it is what it is. We'll definitely touch on that. Coming up on the show, join the intern. Who we got representing the Washington Redskins?
We had Fred Smoot at 1:15.
Mm-hmm. So we got him coming up at 1:15. You remember him from his Mississippi State and also Washington Redskin days, Minnesota Vikings as well. So we'll talk on the Skins now, a TV and radio personality covering the Skins over there. At 1:45, touch them all, Timmy Grubbs. I gave him the 2 days off that the minor leagues had, right? We had the minor league all-star game. They're back at it, hosting the Colorado Springs team over at the Shrine on Airline. So we will talk not only Baby Cakes baseball, but also, of course, some of the top topics in Major League Baseball, including Graf's Dodgers as well. The last thing you need is Machado, by the way. That is literally the last thing you need. Nothing. You need nothing. Joe Curley going to join us at 2:05. Who is he?
He covers the Los Angeles Rams and the NFL for the Vetra Country Star.
Okay.
And we'll have him on at 2:05.
Are you surprised a lot of people aren't buying the Rams right now? It almost seems like the Falcons seem to be above them and things of that nature. So it's a little odd when you look at it from that perspective.
I think it's just a lot of
what?
Fake news.
No. Oh, you call it
going
fake
around
news. We'll definitely look at these lists here as well as We'll talk with Jason here in a quick second, some about the burgers here as well. And stop on by the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street here in Metairie, where the menu, obviously Burger Lane, but also one of the things that I have to ask him is, you know, Jordan's apparently dislike for bacon on a burger. I don't get it, really, when you think about it. So, Jordan, once again, why do you not like bacon on your burger?
Because the juices just get into my burger, and I don't like having a breakfast with my lunch or dinner.
Jason from the Harbor Bar and Grill. So, Shay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's make sure I said that the right way. First off, thanks for having us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming.
Is it right to even have a burger without bacon? He refuses to have bacon on his burger.
So, personally, I'm not a bacon guy either on my burger.
Really?
See?
Wow, look at you getting
it's
some.
It's not strange.
Okay. All right.
So, but I do believe our burgers here are juicy enough, delicious enough that we don't need bacon.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah.
But
why do you need bacon?
Because bacon goes with the burger. I don't know. It's just, to me, it is. But I called it the gargantuan. What is the name of the burger that we've seen on social media that we posted in the picture that you guys have up there?
So it's called the Galley Burger.
Okay.
The Galley Burger. It consists of four cheeses, four proteins. So we stack it. It's a 4-ounce hot sausage patty.
Wow.
American cheese.
Mm-hmm.
12-ounce burger patty. Fresh. Hand padded, never frozen, with a little cheddar cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do an 8-ounce chicken breast fried with pepper jack cheese.
Ooh.
And then we do a 4-ounce of grilled ham. And that comes with Swiss cheese.
Okay. See, the graph is smiling. Have you seen the picture that we have on social media right now? It's ridiculous. I mean, it's like a 3-foot burger. I mean, how? Well,
I'm still adding stuff there right now.
Oh, wait, we're not done?
No, I'm done.
Okay, I thought we were done.
So then we also put on bacon.
There we go. Uh-oh. See, there's your bacon.
Uh-oh.
There's your bacon. So you got to have bacon
Uh-oh.
On it.
And then your lettuce, tomato, pickle, onion. Mm-hmm. And that's how you want it dressed. So the burger itself comes cooked how you like it. It could be rare to well.
Right.
But most people get it medium. And what's great is, when you put it all together, you put the big skewer through it, all that juice
comes cascading down. Graf, are you going with it? Are you doing that? Because if I think we need a like Facebook Live, that I want to see the juices just going all over.
Oh, it's awesome.
Can somebody literally put that? Have you seen someone bite that?
I've never seen anyone put the whole thing in their mouth.
So it is a burger. You're going to have to use a knife or something.
Yes, we have knife and fork. Okay. Before to use it. Yes.
I got you. What are some of the other burgers the Harbor's known for?
So what we're known for is the world's greatest 12-ounce burger.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from, but I do believe it's the world's greatest.
Okay.
So anyway, that's how, you know, we started here at the Harbor 31 years ago. And from there, you know, people kept saying, that burger's too big. Can you get another burger? So we went to a junior burger, which is an 8-ounce burger, which most places sell.
Right.
So what most places have is their burger. That's our second burger, a junior burger. And then we also have a 4-ounce slider burger, you know, for little kids, women. Stuff like that. So
now that's what you'll be getting.
Whoa, where did that come from? I just threw me under the bus there a little bit. Sounds like teaming up here on the Brother Martin folk here. Is the Brother Martin jersey above me here, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there is, yes.
Yeah, you went to Roma, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
I'm sorry.
Proud Raider, yes.
So your dad, though, coaching football over there, Brother Martin, Mr. Gary?
Yeah, he just changed. He did the 8th and 9th grade program at Roma for a while, and now he's switching over to Brother Martin, you know. I don't know why, you know, he could find a better school, I guess. I don't know what's going on.
You know, sort of like LeBron deciding to go take his talents elsewhere and, you know, and help us out. No, it's crazy. We've got the graph from Jesuit here. We were talking a little bit before the show, the influence of high schools in and around the area that cover sports and everything. It's crazy how important it really honestly is. And it's fun, including bets, which is how we got the jersey above us.
Yes, we do. Should I go into the bet?
Well, I mean, you can if you'd like, sure.
So, you know, my father's at Rummel and
uh-huh.
here at the Harbor, we got a law group that comes in, and one of the guys, he's a proud crusader.
Uh-huh.
You know, so last year, they're in here, and they're under the influence of some spirits at the Harbor.
Sure.
And they start going back and forth, little local, you know, Raiders and Crusaders, and going back and
forth.
Who's
better? Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
So then, you know, a bet was made that if Rummel had lost to freaking Brother Martin, which ended up happening last play of the game, that we would hang a Brother Martin jersey signed by the man into the Harbor.
There it is. Okay.
And once again, we're a proud Raider family here.
Right. So this bothers you that it's there all the time. I mean, I did notice it is like next to the speaker, but I mean, if you look, you have to look for it.
We try to hide it behind the TV. We try to hide it behind. Right. Didn't happen. Uh-huh. So, and then the guy, if Romo had one,
yeah,
the guy would get a Block R tattooed on his body somewhere.
Yes.
The guy has no tattoos. That'd be his first only tattoo.
That would have been his only and first tattoo, the Rummel R.
Block R. So
I wonder if the Graf would make a bet set like that. The Jesuit Blue Jay. Have you ever done that, Todd? Have you ever threatened
to put... He looks like a guy that would do it.
I'm shocked that he's never threatened to put the Blue Jay on somebody. No? Because he plays golf a lot. You know, you would think that's something like, all right, if you know you sink this putt,
right,
you get a Blue Jay. I mean, he pitched for, you know, Jesuit. I figured he would maybe throw the Blue Jay out there or anything. So how long does the jersey have to stay?
Forever.
Oh.
As long as the suit stays on thing.
Well, I guess it is. I mean, the tattoo would have been there.
It's there forever.
Okay.
So it was put into the will now. So, you know, unless we sell the harbor, which would be me.
Right, exactly.
I have to live with this jersey.
It's going to be there for my kid to come see now. Exactly.
My son, you know, he's 8 and he looks in and every day he's very disgusted. You know.
I love it. I'm looking around. I don't see any Rummel stuff.
There's a bumper sticker.
Oh, there's a bumper sticker.
Behind the bar. Yeah.
Out there as well. We were talking a little bit before the show as well, too. It's crazy. You know, we're like, what are we kind of getting into? All these different lists as we're in list mode right mm-hmm. now, right? As you're waiting, you're a week away from rookies, reporting for Saints training camp. 2 weeks, if you can believe that, before the veterans. 2 weeks from today, Jason, we'll be right. talking about the first Saints practice that would wrap up at, it's scheduled 11:40, probably in a little sooner than that, but we'll have one training camp practice in the books in 2 weeks.
Can't wait.
Alvin Kamara said that. Lattimore said that. They're excited, ready to go. It is. Can't you get the sense and feel there's an excitement level in the city about the black and gold that, I'm not going to name the year, but it's reminiscent of a couple of years ago mm-hmm. where there's an excitement level of not, hey, football is back. There's an excitement level of, we may do something special this year.
Right. So, of course, you know, being in a ballroom
right.
setting, it's nonstop. You know, Saints can do this, Saints can do that. And, of course, now coming off of last year, and everybody being excited about, you know, the team, it's nonstop. You know, everybody loves a Kamara guy. Everybody thinks he's wonderful, great. Mm-hmm. Of course, we got Drew. Always something, you know, it's always a plus. But, yeah, well, you know, nonstop. Everybody's excited. Everybody loves the defense. Finally, Saints have a defense everybody can talk about. You
right.
know? So, yeah, I mean, the excitement's already brewing, you know.
Is there a game in your history, in your past here, and that you can kind of recollect here at the Harbor Bar and Grill, where when the Saints play, whether mm-hmm. home or road game, and you got folks in here watching a game, where it's a little testy? I'm going with Falcons.
So I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
We're very lucky here in Metairie. You know, everybody here, 100% Saints. Like, there's not
– right.
I mean, the night of the Super Bowl. We had a party. We had 300 people here. Mm-hmm. One woman walked in with a Colts jersey on. A woman.
Okay.
And everybody goes nuts. So, like, you know, we had to actually step in. Hey, right. guys, calm down. You know, it's still. But she's from New Orleans.
Right.
And that's what made it worse. She's a New Orleans woman with a Colts jersey on.
Right.
But no.
Ties to the Mannings?
Yeah, well, she just loved the Manning
Newman?
Family.
Okay.
You know? I don't know if she knew him, but she okay. just, oh, loved the Manning
okay,
family.
I got you.
Great. Wonderful. We all do. We do. All, by the way, we do. But
yeah,
so.
Sure.
No, you know, most everybody here, it's just like New Orleans. Everybody, if somebody works a different jersey, most of the time, it's a little fun banter back and forth.
Right.
Not bad, nothing crazy. But, you know, we're lucky. On Sundays, guys come out, they cheer the Saints on, and they just love to see him win, you know.
See, the gentleman over here to my right wearing the green shirt, I don't know. He could probably give you a lasting memory if he ever showed up here to watch a Falcons game. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm saying is, like, is there to me that rivalry is very reminiscent of college, whether it's high school here as well in New Orleans. But it's just a dislike. I'm looking forward already to Week 3 and then Thanksgiving night. It's just those are the games that, you know, in the past, no matter what the win loss record is, what is. You know, the one game or the one team you have to beat, it's the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, see, my problem is I'm in the dome for most of the games
right,
now.
Exactly.
So I'm not here when the game's going on.
Right.
So, yes, it is testy in the dome with
yeah,
the Falcons.
You it know, is.
It's
it
always
is.
Fun. That's a lot of fun, yes.
Absolutely. All right, Jason, thank you for stopping by a little bit and chatting a little bit about the burgers. And, of course, you know where it is, 3024 17th Street, the Harbor Bar and Grill. And any bets this year? that we know of that have happened just yet? Or
no bets
are we
yet.
Closing
still
the bets when it comes nope. to Brother Martin?
Oh,
it's one jersey enough,
well,
I guess.
It'll be a father-son thing this year.
I mean, there's helmets. We can put some footballs up in here. I mean, you know.
Well, you know.
A pennant.
Like I said, this year my father's, you know, he jumped ship, so we got to have a little father-son rivalry this year, you know.
That's we'll have a little fun.
Cool. Maybe a lunch bet, maybe something.
A little lunch bet,
very
something
moderate,
like that.
You know?
Exactly. No more jerseys.
No, sir.
I got you. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate
Thank you so
it.
Much.
Yep, for sure. We'll take the quick break. When we come back, we'll bring in the graph. Are you going with the galley? You going with it? Yeah. he's thinking about it, whether or not he should go with it or not. Joining intern is going to throw in some of these lists. We'll see what some of these lists have to do. Again, way too many have the Atlanta Falcons involved in them.
Way too many.
Way too many. And when I say involved in them, I'm talking about ranked above the Saints. I have a trouble understanding that. And we'll get started in our discussion. The next four games, we're breaking down the season into quarters. Last week, we did the first four games. Lots of people said 4-0, 3-1. How do you see the Saints going through the next set of four games? Redskins at home, at Baltimore, at Minnesota, hosting the Rams. Immediately off the top of my head, I'm like 2-2, I'd be happy. Am I wrong on that? Am I giving it not enough?
Let's see what this team could do.
All right. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com. You're listening to the Sports Hangover live from the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street on ESPN New York.
Every time I look into your loving eyes.
Hour one of the Sports Hangover brought to you by the King Firm. They specialize in personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. We are live at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street over in Metairie. Ty Graffanini joining us to chat a little bit deportes here as the summer's going along. What's going on? The green Torrey Pines
yes.
shirt there. It's a little wet.
It is very wet. I was in the midst of trying to get 18 in, and I got absolutely dumped on.
Little
on
rain. See, I was giving you credit. I thought you were out there walking, working out. That was just sweat.
Well, some of
sweat
it is
equity.
Some of it is sweat,
yeah.
But most of it is big raindrops. So I waved the white flag. I said it just wouldn't stop.
Right.
It would rain, then it would stop for about 10 minutes, and I'd get a hole in, and then it'd start raining again. That's enough.
You love your,
I'll go see Goosey.
You love your golf. And two things that this week came out, and even late last week, of golf news that's interesting. We talked with Steve Worthy, tournament director of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. I know you love that tournament.
I actually played the TPC 3 days ago.
How was it?
It was in fantastic shape.
I love that golf course. It really is. It's like you're strolling through Louisiana. It's the
yes.
best way I can look at it, right?
Quick story.
Yeah.
There was a
Did you see the gator?
There was no gator. Tripod was not out. But funny, I played with a gentleman who was in from Fresno.
Right.
He had come in from Essence Fest and was with his wife, and his wife was still downtown, and he literally took a cab out to TPC, and me and my friend got set up with him, and first thing he says is, all right, when am I going to see the gator? When am I going to see the gator? But the reputation is obviously spanning, but he really enjoyed it just from in from out. I said, you got to realize we're playing on a swamp. This is a swamp. they made a golf course with a swamp around it, so he got a big kick out of that. And when I tell you it was hot, man, it was oppressive. But you know what? I love that stuff. That clears out all the suckers.
Is that what that is?
The so golf course was
you're
wide
a hardcore
open.
Golfer,
we played it.
Saying?
We okay. played in 3 hours and 20 minutes. So
wow.
it was great.
18?
Yeah.
So y'all are
nobody's
good.
Out there, man. It's too hot.
Well, no, but that also tells me you kept the ball in play.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The other question I want to ask you, though, the two things that have to do with golf. Like, you love Lefty. You love Phil Mickelson.
Yes, I am.
$10 million.
Yeah.
The date was supposed to be July to getting in August. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's Tiger versus Phil. $10 million. Are you watching?
I am, but let me just say this. And look, again, Phil's my guy. I mean, he's a year younger than I am. So, he's the quintessential lefty golfer, and that's really the only guy I've ever followed.
Right.
But, I mean, you want to get me really interested?
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, those guys are, they're not hurting for money.
Right.
Take $10 million of your own money.
I was going to say the same
and
thing.
Put it on the table.
That's what I said. Five apiece. $5 million apiece.
Go to the bank.
Yeah.
Show the guys
going
to
the
bank.
Cash, huh?
You want bills. Put cash money down on the ground.
Yep.
Then play for it. Now I'm really interested.
You have somebody in a tux at the end of the hole giving you
your money. You're playing for sponsor money.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
where's the pressure?
I hear you.
Put your own money down.
Put your own money. $5 apiece.
Now we're talking.
Charlie Rick said, how about putting an undercard, just like you do in a fight coming up this weekend. You have Regis Prograde defending his title at the Lakefront Arena, bringing local boxing back to the forefront. And there's an undercard. There's a couple of, you know, obviously when you have a fight like that, you have undercards.
Right.
What about something of that nature, right, where you have a couple other rivalries maybe starting to get like that? Obviously feeling – it's like watching on a Sunday. You know what I'm talking about? At 2 right. o'clock is when – the final group kind of gets going, and maybe have like six, maybe three pairings.
Yeah, you do Thomas versus Spieth.
Exactly. So, yeah. Right. But that's what I'm saying. And Phil and
well,
and
let
Tiger
me ask this. And again,
I
don't,
like that.
I don't really know the details, yeah. And I would imagine Charlie does. Is this again? I'm sure they're still finalizing stuff, but is it going to be a prime time event?
Well,
they're
going to that's what they
kind of start
the
daytime,
right, exactly.
And finish under the lights.
Well,
that night.
And it depends. Do you do it on a weeknight to do it, or do you do it like a Sunday?
I do it a Sunday night.
I do it too. Like Sunday evening, maybe.
Sunday early evening going into.
Yeah.
Like, and you got to do it in California.
It'd be kind of cool, though, wouldn't it, to have an undercard? I never even thought about it like that, but you have some of the other top golfers kind of.
And you'd have to do it. You'd have to do it on the West Coast because.
Of the light.
Well, not only that, but the weather is going to. Because you can't play it.
Right.
You have to play it after the season's over. You can't do it in the middle of the PGA Tour.
PGA Championship being moved. Steve Worthy was telling us that the PGA dates came in. It used to be the last major.
Right.
Now it's going to be the second, Todd.
Weird. Strange. That might take a little getting used to. I mean, the other two, you know, the Open Championship's going to be next week. The
right.
Scottish Open's this week. U.S. Open's always on Father's Day.
Right.
Always. It ends on Father's Day and the first weekend in April is always the Masters. So when are they fitting it in?
It's, I think, 2 weeks after the Zurich Classic.
Okay. Yeah. So in May.
Yeah. Yes, it's May. Yes, they moved it to May.
Yeah. Strange.
Yeah.
Strange.
Weird, right? I mean, yes. You would always think for it. But, again, that's the problem. You always you forget the PGA Championship, and that's why they're doing it. They don't want to be forgotten, Todd. They don't want to be forgotten when it comes to it. All right. So that's a little golf talk
right.
with you. But I know you
had
love
to do
golf.
It. Had to do it.
We're going to get into some college football maybe. Before we let you go here and go enjoy your delicious burger here, because obviously not only with Tulane, but college football right around the corner. But, yes, the beloved Saints.
Yes.
Can you believe, seriously, 2 weeks from today we'll be talking about the first training camp practice?
Yeah, 2 weeks from what? Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks from yesterday.
Vets report.
That will be my birthday, actually.
Okay.
So something to look forward to there. I actually, and you were talking about the Falcons with – Josh, I actually watched. I had on DVR the Christmas Eve game with the Falcons in the Dome, and just kind of I said, you know what? Let me watch this again, and I'll put last year to bed,
right.
And we'll get ready for training camp. So I watched it, and I forgot how much fun that game was. I mean, we whooped them.
Yeah.
We absolutely whooped them.
You like a beating, huh? He's predicting a beating this year. Those teams, Todd. We're going to get to these lists next segment. A lot of analysts, insiders, what have yous, they're having the Falcons with a better roster, with a higher potent offense than your New Orleans Saints.
Based on who's making this list?
Again, it's
the NFL.
Lists. It's what they have.
NFL.
The NFL.
It's what they have.
All right. Well.
I'm just saying, even though, by the way, do they have any in the top 10 in the NFL Network? Julio Jones, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Julio, who's... You know,
what?
Upset with 3 years left.
That's
on
right.
Deal.
You listen to Atlanta radio a lot, don't you? How
they're,
are things
kinda,
going over
they,
there?
They've kind of that's kind of gone by the wayside because
right.
Look, this is a dead period.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's really not a whole lot to talk about right now. But I'm telling you, they were the thing that really got them is that Julio's working out with T.O.
Yes,
and T.O. wouldn't you call the bastion of good influence?
Right.
And they're thinking that T.O. is going to rub off on Julio, and he's become a total, you know, malcontent and me.
Well,
and Julio Jones really isn't that type of
no,
guy,
sure
but
he is, yeah.
he's kind of turning into it,
yeah,
hanging out with T.O.
I will say this, you know, again, for however you feel with Terrell Owens, I just, you know, the last thing I would ever want to see was Michael Thomas working. Although, look, Keyshawn Johnson, I mean, you know, throw me the damn ball. But I've been saying, when you have a guy like him, throw him the damn ball.
I agree.
Right. So we'll take the break as we come back live at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street. Ty, when we come back, let's take a look at our topic today, which is the next four games. We're going to be looking at the Redskins and Rams today. Fred Smoot, you remember watching him play, right?
Mississippi State.
Vikings, Redskins. He's going to be coming up at 1:15 to talk on Washington. Joe Curley, 2:05 to talk on the Rams. We said in last week's show when we were looking at the schedule, the first four games, I easily see 3-1. I would like 4-0. But what about these next four? I'd be happy 2-2. I'm going to get your opinion and everyone else's at ESPN Radio NOLA if you'd like to chime in. Jordan, go ahead. How do you see the Saints in those four sets or those four game slate right there? And also you can chime in via the telephone lines, 800-998-1003, listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. The Graph with the menu. Oh, Todd Graffinini, Gus Catengel, Jordan the intern, about to go through some lists and also the schedules here as we're live at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street over in Metairie. All right, Ty, let's get into it. We'll start with your opinion on the first four games. I'm thinking 3-1. Just, it's at Atlanta week three. It is what it is. That's the game that I'm most scared of. Brian Ola East is scared of at the Giants the following week for that loss. He says 3-1. Jordan went 4-0. I think Brian said 4-0, huh? No, he said 3-1, but the Giants being the loss. You said 4-0. What do you see the first four games for the Saints? Hosting the Bucks, hosting the Browns, at Atlanta, at the Giants, first four.
4-0 is pretty bold there, Jordan. That's pretty greedy. I like greedy, by the way.
I have a 14-point favorite by the Saints against the Falcons.
He won 14-point favorites at Atlanta.
I just want a beating.
I'd like a beating too. I just, you know.
4-0 is going to be very difficult. Very difficult. I think the good news is on the home side of things, I think the dome field advantage is back. I think last year kind of brought it all back because remember, it was a struggle to win at home, the couple of years before that in the 7-9 seasons. But I think playing at home now is going to be very key. The first two games at home are huge. You must take advantage of that. No matter if Mark Ingram's playing or not, and obviously he's not going to be playing those first four games. Winning on the road's tough, especially now. A big key is, all right, how's the health going to be coming out of training camp and the first two games? But not having Ingram, how much load does Kamara take? Are they going to keep him with the same amount of carries and use him more in the passing game? Because he's going to be the bell cow for those first four games. He is going to get the majority of the touches, you would think. And you just hope you can weather the storm. I don't think losing Ingram is, oh my goodness, what are we going to do?
I think last year's a bigger loss.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that yet. I just, the way the offense was set up, it took so much pressure off Breeze because you had the two-headed monster, so to speak.
I also think it's just
going to be a little bit different.
Again,
unless somebody else steps up.
Let's see what happens with Traquan Smith. Cameron Meredith. Right. Let's see how Ben Watson can help. But those are three receivers.
Well, can some other running back step up during training camp?
Yeah, no doubt. So what would you like to see?
Or what 3-1, I would be
three
more
and
than
one,
happy.
Okay. So the next
as long as the one loss is not to the Falcons.
Before we get to the
then
next
again,
set, you mentioned,
I don't want to lose any home games either.
You mentioned health coming out of training camp. It's going to be obviously a huge issue here. We started last week the all bubble wrap team.
Oh, boy.
Right? You know, I mean, I passed it at Walmart a couple weekends ago. I took a picture of the bubble wrap aisle. It was on sale, and I asked Jordan and Brian in a text, how many, you know, should I bring?
I think I heard that portion of the show, and I turned it off because you make me too nervous.
No,
Gus.
Why am I making you? No,
because,
it's just the all
bubble
wrap team.
Because you think it and it happens.
No, it's the bubble wrap team. It's real
simple.
But
why would you even bring it up?
Because I'm just making sure.
No,
because
you're just a paranoid.
No, I'm helping.
Frank Jackson.
I'm helping Sean Payton. I had nothing to do with Frank Jackson.
Oh, that's right.
Just because we talked about it.
Right, and now he's like out for the season.
No, see, look, that's He's not out for the season. He's out for summer league. It's summer league. It's completely different. That's all.
He's not playing right now, is he?
That's all I know.
He played for 13 minutes with 13
points.
Yeah,
all right.
Seen
13?
Yeah, 13 minutes. He's ready to go. But look.
Yeah, he's ready.
Here's the thing. This is what I'm trying to avoid. So I can avoid the dreaded music here by saying, go ahead and wrap them up in bubble wrap.
Okay.
It's a starting five of the NBA, essentially. I can pick five players. I've seen enough already. I do not need to see him in preseason.
So you just don't even need to take a wrap.
You're going to have the, you know, practice against the Chargers, right? And probably one before.
Okay.
One
so year. Let me say
Rams,
this, because again, once
one.
You brought this up, I turned the show off.
Okay.
So I would imagine that number 41 is one of your bubble wrap.
He is
people.
Absolutely on okay. the all bubble wrap
so
team. I've seen it
in your
Sean
theory.
Payton set precedence. He was the only Saint starter to not play in week three last year. Remember?
Okay. Well, yeah.
Remember? Okay.
Okay.
All
but
right.
still, he did get reps during
weeks one and two.
You
yes.
can't have him go out and the first carry that he takes in the regular season, right. he gets clocked and he fumbles the football.
Okay. But
he's got to get hit.
Okay. But you've had Drew Brees go minuteless in a preseason before several times, right?
Different,
and he's good.
Different, different, different.
Then
guy could.
You willing to risk 41?
Guy could throw a route tree with his eyes closed.
Are you willing to risk 41?
He's got to get hit. He can't get hit against Tampa.
I've seen.
He's got to get hit
at the Saints facility to have those broomsticks with some padding wrapped on the end.
Goodness.
They got a couple
you
of interns.
You are so paranoid.
Just let him hit Kamara while he runs out
You're
there.
You're so
he's
paranoid.
Good. There's no need to him to be hit.
It's football.
No, we're good. He is absolutely on the all bubble wrap team. Next, number
I
nine, the all bubble wrap team.
I didn't say he's not
right?
bubble wrap.
Might as well play flag
bubble
football.
Wrap him. Michael Thomas, welcome to yes. the all bubble wrap yes. team. We've yes. seen enough. I don't
all
need to.
Cam Jordan, all bubble wrap.
Absolutely,
okay.
all bubble wrap team.
Don't even need.
We
to.
Didn't need
it.
We didn't see him at any camp.
Just let him go.
OTAs. He
Tampa,
was good.
Go get him.
Hey, you know,
go
Marshawn
get,
Lattimore.
Go get Fitzpatrick.
Marshawn Lattimore. We're good. We will.
So
see
he doesn't
you
need any
Tampa.
Reps during training camp. Nothing.
No, he's going to get plenty. No. I didn't say training camp. I said preseason.
In the preseason
games. Yes, we don't need to see.
Okay.
That's my starting five right there.
Gus would be a heck of a GM, wouldn't he?
Just,
delusional. Very delusional.
So you're okay with having them just go out there? Just go out there.
Gus.
Go warm up.
You know.
Get a lather.
Again.
Because it's important for him to gain 4 yards in the first quarter.
I can't think of
the Cardinals.
I'd love to have a thesaurus right? here and come up with another word other than paranoid, but that's the only one I can come up with.
Just saying. All bubble wrap team.
All right. Duly noted.
The all bubble wrap team would be better.
Keep playing that, would you? Keep playing it.
I just like seeing the look on your face, Michael.
Stop.
All right, the next four games, Redskins. Right. It's a 7:15 Monday Night Football. They put it in prime time because one of the things that they're thinking is Drew Brees could break the passing record there. Washington made a huge switch at quarterback.
Right.
Because they said, all right, Kirk, we're not paying you a piece. And traded for Alex Smith.
Yeah.
In Kansas City.
He scares me.
He's
Alex Smith scares me.
Because
he doesn't
QB.
Make mistakes.
Exactly. No.
He doesn't make mistakes.
Well, and the Saints played a couple of quarterbacks last season.
Well, if you think about it, too, I mean, let's be honest. The Saints beat the Redskins last year.
Right.
But it was a total – that was, what, down by 13 with 5 minutes left.
I was at the game, so that's why –
Well, that
won.
Was the game that they had to come back for.
Yep.
Oh,
well.
Big time.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that was the eighth straight win. But, no, you think about it. The Redskins, they should have won that game. They should have. Now, Kirk Cousins made a couple of bonehead plays at the end. But, I mean, look, the Redskins aren't going to come out here on Monday night and go, oh. No, especially with a veteran quarterback. So that's going to be a tough game. But, again, I go back to the home field advantage. You can't lose at home on Monday night. You just can't.
And there was a stretch in the Peyton era where if it's not only
it was
prime
a home
time
prime time game.
A home game,
it
much
down.
Less a prime time game. Go ahead, it's a double.
Sharpie
game.
It.
Exactly
Sharpie
right.
It.
The next game is 2 weeks after that because you have the bye week, Todd. I would be completely ecstatic 4-1. That's the kind of start you're looking for because we're about to get into the gauntlet, as I like to call parts of the season. But yeah, 4-1 into the bye week. Wouldn't you say most Saints fans would be absolutely happy?
No question.
Right?
I would be.
You got 5-0. You got 4-1.
Greedy. Okay. I like greedy.
You like greedy.
There's nothing wrong with
all right,
greedy.
4-1, I'd be happy with it. You come out of the bye week. And again, it's something that for a portion of the Peyton era, they were good, Todd, coming out of the bye week.
Oh, by the way, Ingram's back at this time,
okay,
too.
He's back after the bye, and then it's at Baltimore. It's the only team Drew Brees has yet to beat in his professional career.
They've got our number.
Well, Willie Snead, have you been seeing on Twitter what he's been tweeting this week?
No, well, I'm not really interested.
Because, you know, I mean, you know when you tweet something, you really mean it, right? Don't you?
What did Willie Snead tweet, Gus?
Willie Sneed's, even Cam Jordan and a couple of other players are kind of responding to that. But he's basically saying he's going to go out there and get double against his former team.
Oh, yeah. So he's talking.
Yeah. Already.
Well, hopefully.
I mean, the tweet means something. Tweet matters.
Hopefully, you know, your boy Lattimore is not going to get any reps, according to you. In the preseason
he'll
games.
Be ready by
but
then.
By then, yeah.
He'll have five games under his belt.
True.
Exactly right.
Okay. Going to Baltimore.
Will we
be
see
tough.
Lamar Jackson?
I would.
This could be a package of plays.
I'm
going to
say 95% he will play.
Mm-hmm. By the way, he also tweeted, "Pretenders will make you believe whatever. Talk is cheap." Hashtag. So he's out there tweeting, motivating himself on July 12th.
Is he already
12th.
Being disrespected before he's taking
yes,
a snap?
Yes, July 12th. He's out there, you know, motivating himself. The next week, by the way, that's a 3:05 kickoff. And then, you know where you got to go back, don't you?
The frozen tundra of
Sunday
TD
night.
Bank.
Sunday night, 7:20.
I wonder how many times they're going to show the final play.
There it is, the stupid horn.
How many times, think about it, that week on local television, on national television.
Right. Have you got aggravated by this horn yet?
I have totally just tuned it out
because
I have that type of capability. Gus, if you do it one more time, I'm going to punch you.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Can we please?
Because I mean,
that
that's
happen.
What it's like to watch a
but
Vikings
what I'm
Saints
saying
game.
Is,
you know, first down Vikings.
If I would advise all Saints fans who still are haunted by the final play of the divisional round playoff game, I won't even say their names. I would literally turn your televisions off right up until kickoff.
Up until kickoff.
I would not watch one iota.
So you're saying
during
NBC's,
the week cup. Oh my
coverage.
Goodness gracious!
You're going to have interviews,
and it's going to
right?
be
yeah.
all on the Minnesota side.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing.
The receiver that made the catch.
No. Turn it on at 7:18, and get ready for kick.
Okay.
You do not want to see
you
any
think
of
Dungy
it.
And Rodney Harrison
entire,
talk about it. Okay.
The entire pregame show.
So I don't know who's the host, right?
And we saw
it's no longer Dan
Oh yeah,
Patrick.
Dan Patrick quit.
Yeah, he peaced out.
Oh my goodness.
No, you're going to hear that.
Just don't watch anything.
Okay.
Didn't they have the final play when Drew Brees was being elected into the top 100, top 10?
Yes.
Yeah.
The NFL Network found it in their heart of hearts too, while you're saying that he's the, you know, eighth best player.
Not even on the defense.
Yeah, no, here it is.
Right.
Yeah. He had nothing to do with that play, but you're right. They're going to find that week is going to be brutal. They will find
brutal.
Anyway, let me ask you this because you have a pulse, right? Obviously on social media and you talk to Saints fans and such as well. I don't find though, because you use the word haunted, and I've talked about this on the show in the past. I feel more people were haunted following that 49er game for seasons.
I agree 100%.
Than they have been for this Minnesota game because I think people feel this year's team is special and they're excited about the future. Does that make any sense?
I agree. We're on the same wavelength here.
Yeah, of anybody coming up to me go, dude, that Minnesota
kinda,
game.
I don't want to admit, but this is deep breath. I'm thinking about it, people. I'm actually thinking about taking a swing at him.
I'll video it.
Get some
but
views.
Look, I was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That, I know it's crazy, but I slept that night. I didn't toss and turn.
No,
I'm
with you.
I wasn't a crazy person. Now, again, I said earlier, the 49er game in 2011, I didn't see live, so I didn't. Now, if I would have seen that live, I probably would have jumped out of a window. But I didn't see that live, so I saw it a little differently than everybody else. But that was a Super Bowl championship team.
That is the
difference.
I'm feeling like if they bow out early this year, people will be bothered a lot more than they were last year.
I hate saying this. I agree.
Right. I mean, last year, it was just one of those rides. Like, are we really this good?
It was a great ride.
And you and I kept saying it. We talked about it because obviously you're on every week to preview Tulane. And when I'd throw in a Saints. And I'd be like, all right, look, what do you think this week? And you're like, dude, you can't keep losing the starters they did to IR. They struggled on third down. They didn't have the weapons at receiver like they did. I mean, the Saints weren't ready yet to be a Super Bowl team.
It was one of those seasons, too. You know, you're watching with people and you're just piling up wins after wins,
right?
And everyone's looking at each other going, what in the world's going on?
Right.
No one had bought in.
Yeah.
No one had bought in until December, really, if you think about it. So I just, again, that last play, was it just total fluke? But it tells you, if you really are objective about it, that your team wasn't ready to win. Because if they're ready to win, that don't happen.
Yeah.
It don't happen.
And again, you know, Todd, that play is easy to go back to and point to. And I've said this several times, and you and I have talked about this, just talking football. The lack of third down. I think they had, like, no third down conversions in that game. I mean, you get one third down. That game going ahead field goal is the game-winning field goal. The field goal they kick is as the clock expires to zero, they can run the clock down. But it was third down. They didn't get the first down, had to kick the field goal, and left time on the clock. And it was the thing that haunted the team during the season.
Yep.
It was the thing that haunted them later on. So, but, yes, I will say this. You know the Falcons game has a little extra meaning. That Vikings game is a game that's circled on the calendar,
no doubt
on Airline Drive.
No doubt.
I think it's also circled for Saints fans as well, not only because of memory, but because I think of importance. Minnesota's going to be around this year.
Look,
they're going to be around this year.
And here's the other thing, as we found out the hard way last year, we got to play home playoff games.
Yeah.
Beating Carolina at home, that was awesome. You got to keep building up those home games. That gives you a better shot.
Well,
we play Minnesota in the Superdome. Those game, if that's flipped, the outcome is probably
different. We're
going
to get to the Rams next, Todd, but the importance of this next slate of four games. Three are NFC teams, Redskins, Vikings, Rams. And when it comes to tiebreakers, Todd.
Oh, yes.
Okay, these are teams that can be in the playoffs or maybe not. You need to win those NFC games. It's Gus Cattingale, Todd Graffinini. We're live at the Harbor Bar and Grill, 3024 17th Street over in Metairie. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Sports Hangover, where Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back, Gus Cattingale, Todd Graffinini. We are live at the Harbor Bar and Grill. 3024 17th Street, Vikings, Ravens, Redskins, the first three games obviously in that four slate. The next one, Todd, is the Rams on November 4th, 3:25 kickoff there. The game at L.A. last year,
strange game.
It was the game plan. I didn't feel like that was the best Saints effort.
It was a weird game. I was actually in Tampa last year.
Right.
Tulane played Florida State in basketball that day. And it was a later game. It was a 3 o'clock game, 4 o'clock game, obviously on the East Coast. But it was a national game, so I'm in the Tampa airport, and they're showing the game on TV. And Rams got up quick, and then Kamara had that long run and tied the game up. And that pretty much was it. The only other side story to that, there's two other side stories. First of all, that's the I was texting people during that game wondering if Kenny Vaccaro could go back on IR.
Oh.
Would it be possible? Yeah. He didn't help. That was actually the Kenny Vaccaro last stand game. That's why he still has not been paid.
He's just resting.
He's resting.
Ready to go.
They saw film of the Rams game. Anyway.
First round pick, by the way.
That and the guy next to me sitting on Southwest, because I was able to watch because it was on Fox.
Right.
and I'm watching the game on my computer, and this poor guy next to me was just shaking his head the entire time, wondering, who in the hell am I sitting next to? Yeah. Because I was not pleased.
Yeah.
That was just, it was not a good game. Never in it.
No.
Never really in it. Never really in it.
It was almost, I don't know, you almost got that sense and feeling from that first Vikings game to kick off the season here as well. Look, Todd, 3-1, 4-0 in that first slate, I'd be happy with. If you can go 4-1 into the bye, be fantastic. But if you just look at it as four games, Washington, Baltimore, Minnesota, L.A., man, I'd be happy 2-2.
Two and two would be good. You
that.
Go 3-1.
I'm
if you're building off the first four, it's going to be very, very hard for people
to not start to booking
not
trips
start,
to Atlanta.
Yes, No,
I'm being serious, but you're right.
I agree. It would be very, very difficult for people to not contain themselves.
Well, you'd be looking at what 7-2. You're looking at 7-2. Six.
You're looking at 6-2 through 8,
with
obviously big wins.
Right after the Rams, it's the Bengals, Eagles, Falcons, Cowboys.
No, I'm not going
any
further.
No, I know.
I'm
saying that's next week.
Enough's enough.
I'm saying that's next week. But I think if you can get through that stretch 2-2 or better, because then it's the second half of the season, and then, you know.
This is all subject to change.
I know.
Just saying.
What are you nervous? Look, you know me. You keep saying I'm paranoid.
You are.
I'm actually probably as upbeat about an upcoming season as I've ever been.
I'm not saying I'm not fired up either.
As I've ever been.
But just let it play out, man.
I think they got a special team.
Let it play out.
Wrap
everyone
in bubble
wrap. Don't start bubble wrapping.
Why not? Bubble wrap, and you got a shot. wouldn't it be beautiful? Because we talked earlier in the week when Jordan the intern started a mass panic among Saints fans, thinking they'd have to pay for training camp practices. But, you know, the Falcons are charging for a training camp practice this year on July 29th.
Right.
All proceeds go into the,
by the way, they
Super Bowl hosting committee.
Is, they're holding that practice
right. In the dome,
in the stadium,
in
the bends, and they are opening up the roof.
Oh, really?
There's a hamster with a wheel that they've installed at the top, and that little guy is just going to go as fast as he can, and that thing is just going to slowly but surely crank open.
Here's the thing, though, right? With it opening up, Todd, I mean, here's the thing that you got to be happy about is you're looking at this situation here. Clearly, they need a few more dollars to make sure that Super Bowl goes off without a hitch.
Right.
I told Jordan, I said, we shouldn't get upset. We should probably make a field trip to go see that practice. I'll contribute my $5 because that just means they're going with really nice confetti that will be falling on Saints players. How nice would that be? That will be a lasting picture. Would that be the cover of your phone, a wide shot of the Saints and confetti falling on them in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, in February?
If the Saints are in the Super Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Now, I watched the Saints win the Super Bowl here. I always wanted to be in my own city if the Saints ever won the Super Bowl. That dream was fulfilled. If the Saints are in the Super Bowl in Atlanta, I will be there.
I'm sure you will be. Yeah.
If I have to drive up that day, I'll do it.
We'll be there, right, Gus?
Well, I mean, clearly.
Yes.
I'll take that baby over.
The whole I want to party with him.
The whole city.
I want to party
I'll
with
I'll drive around. I'll be honking my horn.
I'll say this, though. It would be because we had the direct opposite situation. It almost probably happened. Thank you, San Francisco, with Colin Kaepernick, by the way, for winning in Atlanta. Because that would have been the worst 2 weeks that I could have ever possibly imagined.
I've never pulled harder for a team other than the Saints than,
the irony
than San
of
Francisco.
That too, especially for you, the irony of that you're pulling for a San Francisco team that
who I kept completely
Saints
and utterly
in the NFC West.
Despised
exactly
my entire
right.
life.
But you were pulling for them because the last thing you wanted
like I
was
pulling
2 weeks
for the Saints.
Of Falcon gear,
no.
Falcon flags on Poydras,
noodle arm,
logos.
Noodle arm poster on Poydras Street.
Can you imagine?
No.
Just right there, everywhere.
I mean, it was there.
Noodle arm here, noodle
it was
arm there,
so
noodle
close.
Arm everywhere.
But the Falcons falconed, and we were all right.
Mike Smith,
Smitty did
enjoying
his, Smitty did
your
his
favorite
thing, though.
Restaurants.
Smitty did his thing. We were all good.
I miss Mike.
I do,
too. Is he still the defensive coordinator for the Bucs? They didn't fire him, huh?
I mean, they should have.
Because that's – no, my point is that's a good shot then for the Saints.
No, I think he's still in, thank goodness.
He's still in.
We love you, Smitty.
At NTGraphs, the way to follow. We'll have you on before the college season.
Okay.
Just got to talk a little college football. Thank you, bud. Appreciate
it.
We'll be back with hour number two as we're live at the Harbor Bar and Grill. Coming up, Fred Smoot at 1:15. He'll talk about the Washington Redskins. When we come back, it's the Sports Hangover. Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't forget, ring the King. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring them, 909-KING. Check them out online at kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans.